Hi, everybody, and welcome to A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Whew, and today I am wearing what I like to call a really long white tank top. I also have a cute pair of silver heels on, and then my hair is in some long braids. So it is on the last day of Pride Month, but it's also my birthday tomorrow. And so for this special episode, I decided to go back to doing an interview. But before we get there, I wanted to talk about why this birthday is important to me. The last 365, I really did get in this mode of where I thought that I wouldn't be able to recover because of some things that happened in my life, especially here in Portland. When Local Lounge closed, as I've talked about in earlier episodes, I also started working at a lot of different breweries in town. One thing that did come up is over the last like 4 months, I had some online cancellation kind of things, but I want to talk about a specific story about something that happened to me when I moved here and how I felt like I'm finally on the upswing. When I first moved to town, there was a drag queen named Nene Leakes Cartier who we performed in a show together that Donatella Nobody, a local queen, booked us in. And she had left a dress. Nene had left a dress in the dressing room, and I had posted online because I was new to town, trying to make friends. And I said, hey, I found this dress in the dressing room. I think it's Nene's. I'm not going to give it back to her till she hangs out with me because I thought she was really fun. That's something that I did. I thought it was being funny. And then the next time it came around, Donatella told me that she couldn't book Nene in the show. She's like, because she doesn't feel comfortable around me because she thinks I steal. In reality, what happened was I actually just left the dress in the dressing room, and they said that they were going to get it back to her. So of course I just left it there. It was just a joke I put on the internet. But from that point forward, back in June of 2019, that's when her and I stopped actually being, we never really were close. We just never became friends. It was always a little bit cold and distance between the two of us. But what's really interesting about this is I always found this person to be very enlightening and very fun and very interesting. She's also, we actually interviewed her in one of the interview episodes that we had on here. I think that she's really talented. And so we threw the Juneteenth party on Monday, June 19th, and it was amazing. It went so good. It was out of this world good. It changed my life in a lot of different ways. It was beautiful performing with my community, and honestly, my heart is just so full about that experience. It was just beautiful. But what I need to say, though, is that at the end of the show, Nene said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah. Keep in mind, this now is in 2023. And she said, so I feel like you and I got off on the wrong foot. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, because, there's this thing that happened with this dress. And I explained it the whole story because I remembered it. Because I think it was like partially traumatic for me that, this person thought I was a thief. And and she apologized, and she said, I really appreciate what you've been doing for the community. And it was just like a really full circle moment, because I feel like with some of the negativity that I get, you never really see the other side of the positivity. So I wanted to take the time on this podcast to share that, because, it doesn't matter if it takes 1 year or apparently 3 or 4 years later, but sometimes you can have those moments with people where you both apologize and you move forward as adults. And I think that that's really beautiful. And so, I just kind of want to sit with that for a moment, especially because living in my blackness in that way with another black member of the community and we getting to thrive in that moment was just also super great. But while I have you, how are you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments. How many of you are fans of RuPaul's Drag Race? Well, I have an event for you. On July 20th, after Portland's Pride weekend, we have an event called Hangover, where it's going to be a drag show featuring Cornbread, the snack, Jete from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14. Get your tickets now. We already sold out of our early bird and our mid bird tickets already. So get your tickets now, pre-sale, because they do go up at the door. It's at Triple Nickel Pub on July 20th at 9 o'clock p.m. We hope to see you there, all you Drag Race fans and drag fans. Visit www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel. That address again is www.thecdsdrag.com/nickel.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into What They Tell You podcast. Check
it out. Oh my gosh, everybody, and we are back welcoming to the podcast. It's Crucifix Magnetic, my drag child. Hi, Crucifix, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Just, enjoying my day off.
Oh, it is your day off today? That's crazy because we should have went to the farmer's market together. That's a little rude that you didn't want to do that with me. I guess I could have asked.
Oh. Well, also, I didn't wake up until like noon.
I swear, every time I hear numbers like that, I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, I had a full day before you were conscious to the universe.
Yeah.
Full day. So let's go ahead and get into it. So Crucifix, tell the kids how long you've been performing and where your drag name comes from.
Okay, I've been doing this. I actually came up with the number. It's like been almost 8, 9, almost 10 years of doing this. Of bucking and twirling, throwing my body from the ceiling and all that. But the name came from, like, when I started, it was 19. And I was trying to figure out, like, my name and, like, what I could do. Because everyone had such creative names. I'm a very creative person, but coming up with something, like, on the fly was not that easy. But I was hanging out with some of performers that were more established. And one of them was Timmy Lavicious. And he's like, what kind of ideas do you have for a name? And I was like, oh, I was just going to add Mr. to my last name. And he looked at me and was like, no. Like, no. And shot down every idea I had. But he basically was like, well, every time I see you, you're wearing a cross. Like, every single time. So why don't we just go with Crucifix? And then I did my first show, and a lot of the performers got adopted by families and had last names. And I'm like, I don't have a last name. It's just been Crucifix. And then I came up with Magnetic because all my friends are like, you have this magnetic energy about you. And also, you're like an energizer bunny. You don't fucking stop.
You don't stop. Oh my goodness, you don't stop. You're just constantly going. No, I love that. That's kind of great because that's actually how I that's how my story kind of started. Everybody at a show kind of got adopted while I did not. And so I was like, oh wow. I was like, I need to just like kind of do this process and, you know, work my way forward as I need to. And, you know, and that's fine. That was just my journey, right? So let's get into a little bit more about you. So what exactly do you specifically love about performing?
Well, I was an artsy kid in high school. So I did a lot of like choir. I was in competition choir. Like we got to travel and do all that. I did like benefit concerts where we would do either stuff from Broadway. We would do stuff from Disney and we would literally act it out. The entire scene of what we're doing. And when high school was over, I was like, well, I don't want to pursue like actual acting because I'm like, I am not that great at it. But I was like 19, no, I was 18. And I went to this old like kitty club way back in Portland. It's no longer there, which is a shame. It was the Escape Nightclub. And I saw drag queens for the first time and was like, oh my God, this looks like a lot of fun. But I didn't have like the guts to actually do it at that point until Jinx Monsoon had no backup dancers for a number because her backup dancers like bailed. And she runs up to me, grabs me, and she goes, can I put a wig on you and paint on a bra? And I was like, okay. But she failed to tell me I had to lip sync. So she ended up grabbing like my chin and started like moving my mouth. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to move my mouth. And she was performing Poor Unfortunate Souls. And I was Ariel. And then she had two people. She had like smeared green paint on them to be like Flotsam and Jetsam. And after that, I was like, you know, I really want to like get into this, but back then we only had one club. And when you only have one club, getting into a show is very, very, very difficult. There was a lot of times I got told no. And
oh, wow.
Then someone started, one of the security guards is like, we need to have like an amateur night, like for the people who are not established, who want to be established. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and that was and after that it was like, I'm hooked. And did that for about 2 years, and then I just I took a break for 7 years.
Why so long?
I took a break because I decided to quit because I got tired of explaining what I was doing performance wise to not other performers, but to the audience, because they're like, you look like a man, but you're performing a female song and it's not a cover. It's not like a man covering a female song or like Nightcore. It was like, I'm doing the actual original music. And it was every time I performed, like patrons would come up and be like, oh, well, why aren't you doing it a male version? Why you look like a man? You don't look like a woman. And I kind of just got tired of explaining it and explaining myself every time. So it was just like, you know what? I'm going to stop. Because when I started, we only had one, two, maybe three seasons of Drag Race.
Right.
So it was nobody was really, they only saw drag as either this or that. Like, you're either more feminine or you are masculine. You're either a drag queen or a drag king. There was no gray area for people to understand.
I super love your performance style. I think that it's really great, but I understand what you're getting at with the thing of people not understanding where you're coming from and who you are in drag. I totally understand that. I get that. I feel that in my soul. It's just been a part of how I've performed for a long time myself. So I get it. Where people just don't get it. What do you find keeps you motivated to continue doing drag then?
For me, it's just it's an escape from my everyday life. Cause I work a full-time job. I work a part-time job and then I do drag. And drag for me is I am having an escape from my actual everyday life. It's like how Nikki Tutorials puts it. It's makeup therapy. It's I can sit down, have my music playing, and I don't have to rush. I don't have to have think about how my day went. It was just, okay, we're going to sit down. We're going to be creative. We're going to play with makeup. And there's times where I even tried to challenge myself by getting oh, I'm going to use this palette that I haven't used, and I'm only going to use this one palette on my eyes. Which,
yeah,
none of you know, try drag queens, we pack 50 colors on our eyes, okay? Doing something with one palette that only has maybe 10 or 20 shades, not that easy.
Right, right. No, I get that. I get that. So what do you feel so I've seen you perform obviously 1,000 times at this point. And when you're looking at music or you're coming with a concept for a number, what drives you? What gives you that inspiration in those moments not inspiration, that's a bad word, but what is your process? Take us through your process.
So it's either I have a strong connection to this, whatever music I select, I either have a strong connection of this is how what I'm going through right now, or I've been in this situation it's something that if I resonate with it. But then there's also times where it's okay, I'm still feeling normal. Nothing is really jumping out at me, but then I'll think about what show I'm doing. And being okay, this is the show I'm doing. This is who's hosting the show. Okay, this is the kind of crowd that is there. I will either know that they're going to be a high energy crowd. They're going to be a more ballad or musical type crowd. Or they just want the stunts and that's about it. And so I try to keep it at least balanced so that way the crowd is not going to be like, oh, this person went on and now I'm bored.
Right. No, I get that.
It's kind of like the, you see who you are, like you are in with, like on the cast. It's kind of like when you get the set list, you're like, okay, who am I going to have to go up after? Like,
right. You know, and I've been, because I haven't had a lot of too many three-person shows these days, and that's kind of by design. Three-number shows are really hard on my body these days, about to be 37 years old here tomorrow, and at the time of releasing this, 37 years old tomorrow. And I think that it's just, I want to give my audience the best, but I notice with three numbers, I feel like I'm rushing. I feel like it doesn't, like, I always feel like with three numbers, I go to the dressing room, I change, and then, like, I'm next. It's so weird. I don't necessarily love it. But I also don't love being in large shows either. I don't want to compete with 15 people, like, unless it's, like, a huge event or whatever, because we're all getting that exposure by, like, lots of audience members. But when it's, like, a regular bar show and there's 15 people in the show, it's just like, oh, my gosh, like, there's going to be no money for me. And then I have to do three numbers, and it's, like, exhausting for me, so.
Oh, like, I get it, because it's, like, I was used to, like, oh, I would do, if I did a show, I did one number, and I was done. And then when I really started, like, taking off, it was, okay, you're doing two, maybe three. And then just recently, I did a show, I did five. I literally did five numbers in the show. I did more numbers than the host did. And
nope, absolutely not.
I can tell you, I was done. I was exhausted. But like you said,
as you should be.
As soon as you get back there, you get changed, you get the hair on, the accessories, all that. It's like, oh, you're going on right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're going on. Yeah. And you don't have enough to put new stuff on, and I don't like that.
It's like, I didn't even have time to change shoes through my numbers. Right. It was like, I'm wearing the same shoes. You see it? No, you don't. If you do see it, well, you go back there and try to do this.
Right. So I wanted to know, so you were injured, right, for a while, something with your knee. Like,
yeah.
Did that happen during your drag career or before?
Before my drag career. So, okay. Like, when it was during my retirement hiatus, and God, that was in 2016, 2017. I was in a severe car accident and literally shattered my left knee. And via x-rays, it looked like it was broken in two pieces. They were going to just wire it back together. But when they had me in the operating room, and they got into my knee, they could see that the top portion of my patella is in one piece, but the bottom is in five pieces. And so they were like, we can't wire this back together. Like, we can't do that. So they had to take those five broken pieces out and move ligaments, muscles around so that I will have a functioning knee. And so I had to do a lot longer of recovery time. But while I was doing that recovery time, I was on YouTube watching drag shows at, like, Mickey's West Hollywood when they would post a new video. I was watching makeup tutorials. It was like, took that time to rediscover this art form that I did fall in love with and then fell out of love with because of people not understanding. And when I rediscovered that, it was like, you know what, I think it's time to bust back out and maybe giving up like another amateur show a try. Do I think I'm gonna get put on a cast spot? No, probably not for my first go around, but it's to see if that fire can be relit. And if it can't, then well, we came back out for one night only. And if it does, then we'll go from there.
That's actually really cool. That's really, really cool. You know, I'm happy that you made it back, especially for all that stupid stuff that you do nowadays. Let me tell you. So I watched Crucifix perform about a billion times at this point because I love them so dearly and they're my drag child, but they flop around that damn floor all the time, just doing all these stupid little stunts, trying to hurt themselves. And it just makes me so worried all the time. I'm going to be like, one day I'm going to be picking this child off the ground. They're like, oop, that turned the wrong way when I hit the ground.
Oh, no. You're just,
and Crucifix is like, wearing them tall-ass shoes, too.
Hey, I don't buck and twirl in those tall-ass shoes. I don't do that. I'm like, I will stab myself in the back.
Yeah, you would, tiny little creature.
All you would need to do is I hurt myself and my partner's there, just be like, hey, go pick him up.
Oh, yeah, you have a partner. How long have you been with your partner for the kids?
I have been, it'll be 2 years on August 22nd. Not 2 years, 4 years. My brain, it took one too many death drops to the floor. It'll be 4 years.
You're one of those few people that actually has a partner and they do drag. So let's talk about that for a second. Do you find that having a partner and doing drag is hard on your relationship?
Yeah, yes and no, because me and my partner, we're like polar opposites. Like, he is very much like, I'm the social butterfly, but he is like the one that's like, I've been out all day at work. I don't want to go anywhere. And he, before the panorama, he came to like almost every single one of my shows. Every single one. And then after, it was like kind of like, oh, I'll come to this one. Or he'd say he was going to come, but then it would be like, oh, I'm really tired. I really don't want to go anywhere. I just want to relax at home. And it was like, okay. And then I had to consciously realize that he is very much so like, he wants to be the behind the scenes partner. Like, he doesn't like to be the center of attention, even though he's hard to miss. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
But it's been kind of like, it's easy, but it's not. But he knows when I'm doing my shows, he's kind of like, well, if I come to your show, you're working. And that's not your fault. You're working, but I'm sitting here by myself.
Right.
And he will sit there, and when he does come to the show, he will tip every single performer that comes on that stage, whether they do a good job or bad job. It's like, they're up doing up there, they're working hard, and all that. But it's kind of like, on the same side, it's been easy, because it's like, he has his things he likes to do, I have my things that I like to do that we don't need to do together all the time.
Right. So what advice would you give for people trying to date as drag artists?
Don't date another drag artist. You may think that you'll have the double the closet space, double the wigs to have access to. Don't do that. I would recommend, like, go for somebody that is not your exact, like, who you are as a person. Go for the polar opposite. Like, I would consider myself metro. Like, when I'm out of drag, I'm very much masculine looking and feminine, masculine and feminine. But my partner, he's 100% burly man. And it's like we balance each other out.
Good. And now I agree with that. I would give that advice too. I think that I have dated drag artists in the past. I think that there's a lot of jealousy that can stem from that, mainly because, like, you'll be like, some person is on a like upward trajectory and you might not be for a moment, or they borrow your clothes or they break your items or something like that accidentally, or they get invited to a booking that you desperately wanted to do and you didn't get the opportunity. And I think there is a lot. I know that people are like, well, you know, that means you're not a great partner. But the thing is, like, if you're both in the same career field, like, because drag is a career, it does have the potential of creating jealousy where jealousy didn't need to be. So I fully get that in a lot of different ways. So,
but I would say it does work for some people, For some,
it does.
It well, does
it
work.
Can. It can. It's just a lot harder.
Exactly.
I know that, like, if I, like, say, God forbid, like, me and Adam were ever to not be together, but we're going to be together forever, and I started dating somebody again, I don't know if I could date another drag artist because my level is so weird. Like, being on a reality show and, like, producing as much as I do and whatever, whatever. Like, dating another drag artist, I think, would just be really, really hard. Because, like, they'd be like, well, I'd be like, well, what are you doing on Thursday? You just kind of my gig. And they're like, well, I have a gig on Thursday. I'd be like, ugh, I don't like that. And then in your off days, like, you can't even go to their shows to support them because, like, anytime a drag artist in and out of drag, it just seems like you're always in drag when you're at a drag show, even if you're out of drag, because, you know, the host will call you out. You'll see people you know in the audience. Like, you'll be tipping and people call you up. They'll try to force you to do, like, the game in the middle, you know, like, all that other stuff. And so I think it would be really difficult for me to try to date another drag artist because of that.
Well, it's like, I've never tried, but just, like, from spending so much time with, like, my chosen, like, friends who do drag and, like, my chosen family, y'all are crazy bitches. Like, I know mm-hmm. I'm crazy at times, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you crazy.
It's like, sometimes the crazy just does not mesh well. And so, I'm like, you know what? I like this to be, like, my thing, and that'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. No, I do. I get that. What advice would you give for newer entertainers trying to break into the scene, especially if they're not, like, a full traditional, like, Miss Fame glam queen?
So, during the panorama, this is, like, number one thing I'm going to say. During the panorama, a lot of the queens took it as, like, a vacation. Like, oh, I don't have to beat this mug. I don't have to do this. Okay, I'm taking a break. I'm taking a vacation. I took the time to be like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like, oh, take it, just not do anything. I sat down in front of my vanity mirror at my desk and was like, you know what? We're going to learn our face. Whether I had my whole makeup case with me or I just had a singular eyeshadow palette with no foundation, no concealer, no nothing. And just was like, we're going to learn our face. We're going to learn what works for our face. We're going to learn what doesn't work. And like maybe even like shrink this time of like where it takes, like my very first time doing it, it was like, took me about almost 4 hours
of just yeah, like it took me so long.
And then maybe learn, and then I took that time of like learning my face, like, okay, now we're gonna time it and see how long it can take us to do their face. And then it's like, okay, if I have all the time in the world and I time this correctly, I will be done by this time. And do that. I can now comfortably say I can do my face. Like, if I didn't have a time frame of like doing that, I could do it for 3 hours, like being honest. But then I can also do it in a pinch. I can get a whole look done between 2 hours max and about an hour and a half. I can wow. get my entire beat done in that point of time because I literally took the time to learn how to do this. Because there's going to be times where, oh, I already have a show. The show is done. And then you get a phone call of like, hey, I need you for this booking. Like, how quick can you get here?
Right.
Or right. even when you're just enjoying your time off, and then someone's like, hey, can you come do this show? So I had someone drop. Can you fill in? You're going to have to paint quick.
Yeah. I did a 20-minute mug. It was not anything I was proud of, but it worked for the gig. Because I need a solid... What I do for my drag is I say 15 minutes for body minimum, just to make sure that everything's right and everything's tucked correctly. And then I say 15... I always give myself 15 to 30 minutes of drive time. So that means, obviously, I need 45 minutes after I'm done with my makeup. And if the gig is in an hour... That means I have to do my, because I can't shorten the time on the body and the drive time, right? So I was like, well, the only thing I can go faster on is my makeup. So that means if I have to be there in an hour, that means I have 15 minutes to do my makeup.
Yeah. And it's like that, like I did a 30-minute face because I, that's all I had time to do was a 30-minute face, and because I got asked to fill in at a show. And thank God it was Halloween because I was not happy with it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, looking at it, I was like, oh God, baby, little boy, first time in drag.
Little boy, first time in drag. And, I want to know something real quick here. How do you handle drama in the community? What do you do to get through it, especially if the drama involves you?
Well, as you know, a lot of the drama don't involve me because I don't do anything wrong. That's not true. But a lot of it's true that I don't get really involved, but I just tend to like avoid it. And it's like, as long as, if it has nothing to do with me, it's none of my business. I may have my opinion and my thoughts on the situation, but I also try to see it from both sides. Like, I play devil's advocate a majority of the time. But if it's like two of my friends that are like having beef and drama, I'm like, I'm Switzerland. Like, I ain't choosing. If any of you tell me to choose, you're not going to like the answer. And
right,
that's being honest. But when it's like other people's drama, it's like, I really, if it has nothing to do with me, it's not my business. I really don't care. Unless it's right. Unless it's like a serious thing, you know, like a very, very damning serious thing.
Right.
And that's when it's like, okay, I have to like pay attention to this. But if it's over, right. Like, oh, this bitch stole my wig, or this bitch did my number, I really don't care. Or this girl did my number. I literally had, there was a situation, someone did that, and I literally was like, do you collect royalties? Are you a collaborator on that music? Are you paid?
Right.
No? Okay, then calm down.
Then calm down, Becky. It's fine. Oh, that just made me think of this. So what would be the one thing you would tell all Portland drag artists to stop doing if you could?
Stop attacking each other. Like, we're all adults playing fucking dress up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all doing the same thing. And
yep.
It's like, I'm seeing so much of it that it was like, okay, when I came out, like, oh, all right. I was friends with this person. But then it's like, as soon as somebody gets a little bit of popularity, their ego grows. It's literally like, oh, I'm going to attack this person. Oh, I'm going to attack this person because I don't like how they do this or do that. It's like, we're supposed to be a community. Like, we're mm-hmm. already under a lot of fire. This does not need to be part of it. Like, we do not need to be like fighting with each other. And especially since, like, we have, like, I've lost, like, friends in, like, from passing. And you have, there's times where you can take things back, but you can't take a lot of it back.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're gone.
Yeah, dealing with loss in this community has been pretty hard, and we can come together sometimes. But I also feel like this community picks and chooses when it cares. It picks and chooses how fast we get over stuff. And like, there's no rhyme or reason to how things happen in the way that they do in this community, which has kind of been disappointing for me. Like, recognizing that, say you do something wrong, and then like, let's say like Sequin McQueen does something wrong, right? Like, say you do the exact same thing wrong. One of you may potentially get more flack than the other one, and it'll be because of some ancillary BS thing that nobody could even foresaw coming. Like, you might get less flack. They're like, well, Sequin has a kid, so that's why she gets less flack than you do. Or, you know, something like that. And so the community just chooses, and sometimes it really is arbitrary. It's like, well, that person doesn't get booked as often, so they're really not part of the problem, but you get booked all the time, so you're part of the problem. You know, and it's just, it's whatever we decide, and it's always so gross and weird. I was like, it's not apples to apples. It's not a fair society. Our court of public opinion is what I would call it. And Portland is kind of messed up.
Yeah. Or it's like, you do a show where like it's like, okay, this person did something wrong, and if you are just a performer, like you were booked in the show, you're being paid and everything, you do the show, you're getting flack for it because you performed. It's like, why didn't you just drop out? Why didn't you do this? It's like, well, because some of us can't afford to.
Yeah,
Like
we can't.
some of
Yeah,
us,
exactly.
like some of us, like this is our job, but it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, it has nothing to do with me. I was booked. Like, I have to say no to this, like, 50 or more booking because y'all have a problem with with somebody who puts on the show, when it's literally just like, okay, they did something wrong, I understand, but it has nothing to do with the people who are booked in the show. Like, how is that fair to tell them, like, hey, you have to cancel. If you don't quit this, drop out of the show and say no to that payment, you're going to be dragged through the mud.
Well, and we could, because we actively participate in a capitalistic society. Like, a lot of us appreciate the comforts of a roof overhead, food on table. In a moment, it's really hard, especially if you're banking on money, which I had done over the last month because, Pride is just really expensive. Being like, somebody would be like, oh, that came up about this gig. And it's like, but that's $150 that I was expecting to have tomorrow, or in my case, sometimes $500 that I was supposed to be getting tomorrow. And if I drop that, then I don't know what I'm going to do because I was expecting this money. Like, so a lot of the times I'll buy like more elaborate costumes when I know the money's going to come back to me and hope to make a profit off of tips, right? Buy a $500 costume with nails and all the other good stuff and shoes, and then go into the gig. And so everything at that point is just considered profit. But if I cancel the gig, then I'm just out $500.
Yeah, and it's like even like things happen in everyday life. Like for me, like I had to buy a new car. I had to like I had to get help with doing that. And then I got the new car, and then one of the wheel literally came off the front of my car, and there went $790 down the drain. That I was like, crap, I needed that to survive because I also have to pay rent this month. I got all my bills paid, but then it's still like, okay, I have this much money to last me until my next paycheck. And half the time it, and sometimes it, you're like, I'm strapped, like I can't do anything. And to say no to that, to like be like, oh, I'm getting this money that is going to help, and then have to be like, oh, I'm being told I need to say no. And it's like, okay, but if I say no, nobody's going to help me with like cover that.
And
Because
it
it's
really
like,
does
I,
like depend on like a reason too, like the stuff that actually people in the city have worked through some pretty terrible, horrible incidents. But that's because, finances are a real thing. And we would all love to say, like, morally, I want to say no. And the thing is, I tell people that sometimes when I accept gigs, that I'm like, morally, I don't want to accept this gig. I was like, but I'm going to do it because I've signed a contract or I've agreed to do it. And it's like a day before, and I don't like being perceived as unprofessional. And I'm not saying that my morality is less than my professionalism. What I'm saying is, when I want to go out and do a gig, or sorry, when I'm obligated to do a gig, I usually complete my obligations. I think it's really messy to drop out of something, especially if the reason for backing out is just that you don't like what's happening around you.
exactly. And it's like, I worked really hard, like for myself, I worked really hard to be extremely professional. I had that like beaten into my head, like as a child growing up, like when you have a job, you need to be professional. Whether it's you're working in an office for a big company, or you're just mucking horse stalls, like you need to be professional. Whatever BS is going on, you leave it at the door. And I take that with me because I also, like, when I got older, I'm like, okay, if I'm early, I'm on time. If I'm on time, I'm late. And if I'm late, I'm fired. And like, I've had to drop out of gig. Like, I had to cancel a gig because of medical reasons. And because, like, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I had a blood sugar that wouldn't go down. And it was, like, either, oh, I go do this show, get this all this money, get this payment, and whatever, and end up having to be hauled off in an ambulance, or I have to make the tough choice of being like, I can't do this.
Right.
Like, I can't do it, and I need to take care of myself and get this down, because otherwise I'll have to go to a hospital. And some people are very understanding of that, and some people aren't. Thankfully, the show that I had to drop out of, they were very understanding. And even the producer even checked on me the very next day, being like, are you okay? Like, are you good? Everything fine? And it's like, you have to make those choices. But, like, being told that, oh, just because I don't like how they run things, you should drop out of their show. It's like, I don't think that's right or fair.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. I think that you have a good head on your shoulders when it comes to that subject. So my last question that I have for you, which I told you to prepare for, is if you got into a bar fight in Portland, sorry, well, if you got into a bar fight and you had to choose three drag artists from the PMW to help you win the bar fight, who would you choose and why?
Well, number one, I am picking Feather Dusted because she is batshit crazy. Yep. She'll snatch that wig off her head so quick and be on somebody way faster than anybody can react. Mm-hmm. Another one would definitely be, this is gonna sound really bad, but I'm picking mostly people that are taller than me. another one would be Babylon Brooks would be another one.
Yeah, Babylon Throws Hands Brooks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the third one would be my other drag mother, Amara Lynn Valentine, because you don't fuck with her kids.
Oh, yeah.
You don't fuck with her family. You don't fuck with her kids. You don't fuck with her family. You going down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Those are good answers. So tell the kids where they can find you. What are your social medias?
You can find me on Facebook by easily typing in Crucifix Magnetic. My profile will pop up. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok under Crucifix Magnetic Official. And I don't know where my next show isn't going to probably be until July.
There's only one more day left.
Yeah. Till July. So, like, till the new pride starts.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, it was good talking to you, drag child. I miss you dearly, and I love your face. Are you coming to my birthday party tomorrow at CC Slaughter's?
I will make an appearance.
Yay. It's going to be after TGIF.
Now, will it be me in drag? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not.
maybe not. You know, when I'm not getting booked anymore, I rarely come out. I did it the other day for funsies, but oof, child.
I thought about doing it tonight, being like, oh, maybe we'll throw on a face. But then I woke up and I'm like, bitch, I ain't being paid. Why the hell am I going to do that? That's a waste of time.
I know, it always sounds fun until you start doing it. But yeah, I get it. Well, it's been great talking to you, Crucifix. I love you, dear.
Love you too.
And we will talk soon. Tell the kids bye.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.